Flathead Lake is perhaps the most beautiful and valuable natural lake in Montana, and maybe the entire West. Join us today as fisheries biologist Kenny Breidinger talks about managing this complex water body and its native fishery of bull trout and West Slope cutthroat trout in light of complex challenges. Hi, and welcome to the FVCC Nature Journal, the podcast for everyone who loves nature. We are coming to you from the beautiful campus of Flathead Valley Community College at the foot of the Swan Mountain Range of northwest Montana. That's my favorite mountain range. I'm John Fraley, longtime instructor in wildlife conservation here at the college, and I also served 40 years with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Our producer is Colin Burkhart, and thanks to Morgan Ray, the library director, for offering the library as our podcast home. Today, we welcome Kenny Breidinger of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, who serves as the Flathead Lake biologist. Kenny, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, John. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah, now, you and I worked together for a little bit before I retired.
Yes,
I retired in 2017. When did you start at Fish, Wildlife, and Parks?
I started at Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in September of 2011, but I moved to the Flathead in September of 2014.
Yeah.
So I've been here about 9 years now.
Yeah, and I remember, now, when you moved to the Flathead, did you become the Flathead Lake biologist right away, or did you have another position and then become the Flathead Lake biologist?
No, I moved here and became the Flathead Lake biologist right away.
As we talked about, there's only been four or five people to hold this job since its inception in the 50s and 60s. And I never met Frank Stefanich, who was there in the 60s, but I knew Laney Hansel really well. I worked with him for 40 years. You've met Laney after he retired, I think.
That's correct.
Yeah, and then Mark Delaray came after Laney, and then you. And so I wanted to tell you this story about Laney. So in 1976, I was at the University of Montana, and I was in a class taught by Richard Konieczewski, who was a author that wrote the Montana's Fishing Guide, East and West of the Divide. He was really great with fisheries. He took us around the lake on a field trip when I was a senior. And I remember meeting Bearhead Swaney from the tribes, and he told us about, you know, the tribal issues. And then we swung around to Wayfarers, and who did we get to talk from there? Laney Hansel. And then when I went on to finally get back to the Flathead in 1980, I worked with Laney forever. So this is a very valuable position. And people, once they get it, they don't seem to relinquish it. So the value of the Flathead Lake and River fisheries is in the tens of millions of dollars. Tell us what makes the value of a fishery.
There's a lot of things that contribute to the economic value of a fishery. The outfitting businesses, people who sell gear and tackle for fishing, people who provide boats. Largely, Flathead Lake is a boat-based fishery. You need a boat to fish Flathead Lake.
Yeah, it's tough to fish without a boat.
Mm-hmm. And then all the other tourist things that go along with it. Food sales, gas, camping or hotel stays, things like that.
It's in the value range of tens of millions of dollars at least, because when we were doing the co-management plan for Flathead Lake, oh gosh, 25 years ago or so, I think the calculation then was even in the tens of millions of dollars. So it's probably, who knows now. So it's very valuable, and you're the one that's managing this. And how do you balance the native fishery in Flathead, which includes the cutthroat and the bull trout, and the non-native fishery that produces most of the fishing, which is the lake trout?
Yeah, so we at the state of Montana have a fish management plan, and our objectives are to provide quality, diverse angling opportunities and protect and preserve and enhance where possible our native fisheries. And sometimes those two things can conflict. For Flathead Lake specifically, we try to focus on and prioritize our native fish species, cutthroat, bull trout, also a number of others, while doing what we can to maintain our sport fisheries. So, you know, if there's something we think we can do that will effectively improve our native fisheries, we'll do that.
A lot of people that support bull trout and cutthroat and would like to see us, I guess, try to reduce lake trout even more. But there's a lot going on in Flathead Lake for reduction of lake trout, right? We got MAC days, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. The CSKT, the Salish Kootenai tribes, are currently working on a lake trout suppression program. They take about, I believe last year was about 120-some thousand lake trout out of the lake each year. That includes recreational harvest as well, but the gill net. And they also do a large fishing tournament every spring and fall called MAC Days.
That thing has gotten huge. I mean, how many? It's like 30,000 each time, isn't it, that they remove?
Yeah, it's super popular. And yeah, the harvest rates are variable, but yeah, they're removing tens of thousands of fish for each event.
What I really like about MAC Days is when we were working on this co-management plan, we tried to focus on things that were angler-driven. In MAC Days, the anglers get an opportunity to remove the trout, and they're not being netted with bycatch and things. So I'm a real fan of MAC Days, and it seems to have been very, very successful. So let's talk about the status of bull trout. Give us a thumbnail sketch of the status of bull trout over the last decades.
Yeah, so the status of bull trout in the Flathead Lake drainage, which includes spawning tributaries in the North Fork of the Flathead, the main stem of the Flathead in Canada, and the middle forks of the Flathead, it's changed quite a bit throughout the time where we've been collecting data on these. Red counts for this drainage started in the early 80s, and for a while were fairly high. Those early 80 numbers were high and considered, you know, kind of normal.
You know, you mentioned the bull trout reds. Let's explain what those are. So the males and female bull trout swim upstream in the North and Middle Forks into the tributaries, and then they build these what we call reds or nests, and they deposit their eggs and milt into those areas, and then the young ones stay up there a year or two before they go back down. And as you mentioned, the early 80s, I was doing some of the first red counts, like in Granite Creek in 1980, and as you and I talked, I've counted it every year since, pretty much. So I've seen this pattern you're talking about, where we had the thing that just seemed normal to have all these bull trout reds, and then the decline, and now it's sort of stabilized at a lower level. Is that how you'd describe it?
Yeah. The early 80s, we had really good red counts. Following the introduction of Mises shrimp, lake trout numbers exploded, had pretty substantial impacts on bull trout. Those impacts kind of peaked in the mid-90s, where we saw high densities of lake trout in the lake, low abundance of bull trout elsewhere in the drainage based on red counts. And then following that, starting in the late 90s, early 2000s, we've seen numbers come up a little bit and pretty much stabilize.
And so, you did an interview with Chris Peterson of the Hungry Horse News, and you talked about either he or you used the word of nemesis. The lake trout is the bull trout's nemesis.
Yeah, I think that was Chris who used that term. But yeah, lake trout are very good competitors and predators of bull trout. And in many places where lake trout have expanded into non-native ranges, like Flathead Lake, they've had pretty substantial impact.
The thing about lake trout, too, is you also mentioned in there about how lake trout have a reproductive advantage, because in Flathead Lake they reproduce right along in the lake itself, whereas bull trout have to swim all the way up to the headwaters in the streams and spawn. So they have that disadvantage of having to put all it. Now there's maybe an advantage too, because they're away from the predators, but that's a lot of effort for those bull trout to go way up into those spawning tributaries. Lake trout to spawn right along Flathead Lake.
Yeah, it sure is. There's some of our fish in Flathead Lake swim all the way up into Strawberry Creek in the middle fork of the Flathead River. And that's something like 130 miles, a long, dangerous journey.
Yeah, that's right. And then they got to come all the way down after they spawn to survive. And then the young have to come all the way down a few years later. You wonder how they even made it.
Yeah. It's they're impressive fish.
But like you were saying, you know, when I was doing when I did the red counts in the 1980s up there, you thought it was normal for 30 nests in Trail Creek and 40 in Strawberry. It just seemed normal. And that was before the Mises really started exploding. When they did, you could really tell. So let's talk about, so that's the way we're monitoring the bull trout. Tell us about Coal Creek. You were very enthusiastic about Coal Creek when you described how they were doing there.
Well, last year we did a basin-wide red count, which means we counted all known spawning habitat for the Flathead Lake population of bull trout. But Coal Creek, for reasons unknown to me, had a very high number. We had 28 reds in Coal Creek, and we haven't seen those numbers since the early 90s, prior to really the major impacts that lake trout had on the population. So we're not really sure why our numbers were really good last year, but we're definitely happy to see it.
That's a really good result in talking about stabilizing in Flathead Lake for bull trout. It's music to my ears. So we just have a few minutes left. Let's talk about the Flathead Lake levels. They've been controversial this summer. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, Flathead Lake levels nearly got to full pool earlier this summer. Since then, it has started to decline. The last I saw, they were about 23 inches below full pool. And that's having an impact on a lot of the boaters out there, especially people who keep their boats on Flathead Lake. They're having to move their boats off of their shore stations. They're having access issues to places, and there's underwater obstructions that are becoming more of an issue now with lower lake levels.
So the reason is because the low snow levels, low flow, and not keeping enough water in flooded lake, because they simply have to let so much water exit the lake too.
That's correct, yeah. The Columbia River drainage has, I believe, 60 hydroelectric dams on it, and water management on the Columbia is very complex, so all the dams are operating by certain rules that are designed to minimize impacts. And also, you know, last year we had somewhat below average snowpack.
So anyway, it's pretty complicated, this controlling the water levels in Flathead Lake. I know a lot of people are upset, but you're saying there's really nothing that can be done about it with these snow levels and these early runoff and things like that.
Yeah, I think managers are still looking into what they can do about it, but we're midway through summer and that's going to be a challenge.
Are you hearing a lot from anglers and boaters and people at docks?
Not so much from anglers, but yeah, I have heard from a number of people who are having issues. I know some of the people with larger sailboats that draft a lot of water, I've had to take them out, and many of the boat lifts on Flathead Lake are empty because they're not usable anymore.
Well, Kenny, thanks a lot for coming on today. It was an honor to have the Flathead Lake Fisheries Biologist on when there's only been four of you in the last 60 years. How long do you plan on continuing in the position you're in?
That's a tough question to answer. Right now, I have no plans of going anywhere else.
Okay. Hey, you sound like a politician.
I think I'll be around for a while.
That's great, Kenny. Kenny, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, John.
That's all the time we have for this episode of the FVCC Nature Journal. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Fraley, and I'll see you next time.